order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
And the indication of the cost of that legislation is coming straight from John Murtha, who is, of course, the chairman of a defense spending panel overseeing war funds. We've been talking about this story in general outline since the first Tuesday in November, indicating that for those who had voted for the Democratic Party with the idea in mind that there would be a fundamental change in course, in direction, as far as neoconservative policy is concerned, are going to be sadly disappointed. And this funding bill that is coming out of the U.S. House of Representatives is quite obviously just simply more cannon fodder for those who say that there's not going to be a change in policy and that the future course of things in regard. The other aspect of this whole thing, which we've already talked about at Mark Dankoff's America, is to examine very closely the relationship between Hillary Clinton and John Edwards and Barack Obama and the Israeli lobby. This is something, of course, that creeps up in both of the major political parties, and as we're moving into a presidential election cycle, you can see the candidates of both of the major parties virtually tripping over themselves to ensure that they have the inside track on what General Wesley Clark had correctly but dangerously publicly termed the other day the New York Jewish money people who are behind the situation with Iran. He later retracted or modified those remarks. But in the meantime, the Jewish Telegraphic Agency was reporting that McCain and Giuliani were up there competing for that so-called New York money coming from Jewish sources when it comes to the Republican Party. Mark Dankoff's America will be back with Jeannie Chansey of Ladies Against Feminism. Stay tuned.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescope antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined in the first hour of the show by Jeannie Chansey of LadiesAgainstFeminism.com. This is a very interesting website, and I would like to introduce Jeannie right now by asking her to share with us a little bit of biographical information in regard to how she became involved with this particular website, and then we can kind of take it from there. How are you, Jeannie?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. What is LadiesAgainstFeminism.com in regard to its basic philosophical orientation, and how did you become involved with it?
Well, let me give you a little bit of background on myself. I grew up, I was homeschooled. I always wanted to get married, have children, and homeschool them myself. And then I went away to college and became a feminist. And I would never have called myself a radical feminist, but I definitely considered myself a Christian feminist, if there can be such a thing. And got a job and went off into the workforce, pretty much decided I hated men. From what I'd seen at college, I didn't really want to marry any of those. And the Lord really brought me back around to seeing that feminism was built on lies. And after about 2 years, I had completely broken away from all the things that I'd embraced at college and said, wow, did I ever put on a pair of blinders? And I decided after that to really start researching and reading into the history of feminism, looking back much farther than the 1960s, the 20s, all the way back to the 1840s, and was just shocked to find out how closely tied in it was to the Marxist movement, which came out of Russia and Germany in the 1840s. But that really didn't influence me into starting a website. I got married. I started having children. I'm now the mother of seven, and I homeschool. My husband was homeschooled. And about 5.5 years ago, I got an email from a gal in Oregon who had read a book that I'd edited. And she said, I really enjoyed the book, and I wanted to send you a copy of an article that was written in the 1970s by a lady who predicted what would be the end results of the radical feminist movement if it continued in our country. And she did, and that article was called They're Spoiling Eve's Great Con Game by Taylor Caldwell, who was a conservative writer in the 70s. And when I read it, I thought, oh, wow, this just brings back all the research that I did early on, and I wish more women would understand the roots of feminism and why it isn't about freeing women. It's really about enslaving them and changing culture over the long haul. And so I chatted back and forth with this dear lady in Oregon. Her name is Lydia Sherman. And we said, wouldn't it be fun to start a website that just started exposing the history of feminism and asking people to really think about it. Think twice. Don't just accept what you're told in the media. Start reading deeply into what's here and looking into the background histories of the feminists who really promoted the movement in the 20s and in the 60s. And so we said, well, what will we call it? And we wanted it to be lighthearted, so we said, well, what about Ladies Against Feminism? Because the acronym will be LAF. And it's funny because we actually get a lot of email from feminists who say, you're so stupid you don't even realize that your website acronym says LAF, and we're all laughing at you. And I thought, well, no, actually we're laughing at you because that's why we picked that acronym. But that's where it started. We never imagined it would grow to where it is today. We have 160,000 hits a day. And we really had no clue it would take off in such a way, and we'd have hundreds of writers from all over the world and many different countries contributing and saying, yes, what you're saying is true, and let me give you my spin on it from Eastern Europe and from Japan and Australia, all over.
What do you see, Jeannie, as the basic philosophical tenets of feminism? I know you made reference to the fact that it seemed to emanate in its earliest forms in the just as one historical example, in the middle part of the 19th century, in terms of the movement both in Russia and Germany toward Marxist political and philosophical models. What do you see in terms of contemporary feminism as the basic tenets, and what are the implications of those tenets?
Well, you know, contemporary feminism is really a confused mass of things. You cannot get three feminists today to agree on what feminism stands for. You put them in a room, you've got first wave feminists, second wave feminists, third wave feminists. You've got girls who don't want to ever hear the word feminist applied to them, yet still embrace a lot of its tenets. So it's very confused, but I think if you had to boil it down to one or two major tenets, it would be altering society so that men and women can and should perform the exact same duties in every field. And this means making sure that there is government-sponsored daycare so nobody has to be stuck with raising the kids, and making sure that we bring about, which came out in the 60s, no-fault divorce so that it's easy to get out of a marriage you're not happy with anymore. Really just it looked to changing fundamentally the way our society operates. And even liberal commentators have noted this. Bernard Goldberg wrote the book Bias, and I think one of the most interesting things that he said in the book is that the single most unnoticed yet unimportant shift in society in the past 1,000 years was the mass exodus of women from the home into the workforce in the 1940s through 1960s. And it's just a thing like, well, you know, in the 40s there was the patriotism where men went off to war and women went off to work. But beyond that, you really don't hear the fact that this was brand new in the history of the world. It is a society-changing shift. It really altered the way that we look at the family, husbands providing, moms primarily staying at home and taking care of children and doing ministries of mercy in the community, hospitality. That's all kind of been thrown out the window, and our new model is a materialist one. And what's really fascinating is that the women in the 60s who are writing to urge women to throw off these shackles of the home were in themselves members of the Communist Party. They were Marxists. Betty Friedan herself, she died recently. It's been revealed that she wasn't just some poor housewife enslaved to the home, as she wrote in her book, The Feminine Mystique. She was actually a member, a practicing member of the Communist Party, and was interested in promoting these things. Her husband actually said she never really did much housework at all. She had a full-time maid. So she wasn't even the person that she presented herself to be. She was something completely different. She wasn't a poor, lonely, frustrated housewife who had nothing to do and felt like her brains were getting sucked out. She was actively working to bring communism into America. And later in her life, she would try to distance herself from that, but the facts remain. That's really what she was. And I think modern feminism, as confused as it is, really is still married to communism and Marxism and socialism, because it wants to level society where we don't have any differences at all. And this is, you know, hand in glove with the original Marxist platform.
Hence, a couple of observations that I have. One, it seems to me that the basic division of labor in a traditional family, in order for that to be interrupted, you virtually have to have an intervention by the central state.
Exactly.
Where the central state ends up raising children and being involved in the creation of a situation where the feminist model for society virtually guarantees a powerful interventionist government that is not only going to be directly involved in the business of raising children, but is going to be regulating the relationships between men and women and defining roles and gender identities and so forth, as we quite clearly see going on today. So it virtually guarantees, it seems to me, that you are going to have a Marxist or a radical socialist model being imposed on any society where feminism becomes the defining litmus test for men and women. The other thing that struck me a couple of days ago, I had a guy on this show who had written a book on General Kurt LeMay, the father of the Air Force's Strategic Air Command, and a very fine book, and I was looking through some of the pictures and so forth, and of course my dad's a retired Air Force officer, a new LeMay, so that was a point of commonality for my father and I in terms of chatting about that particular guest. But later that day, I happened to be out on Pat Booker Road in San Antonio, right near Randolph Air Force Base's main gate, and I went into a Subway restaurant. My wife was with me, and we're ordering this food, and of course, because of the proximity of the restaurant, the Subway, to the main gate at Randolph, there were a lot of active duty Air Force personnel in there. And having grown up in the Air Force, but being away from it, of course, for many, many years, it really hit me when I was looking around in the restaurant and seeing that half of the people in there were probably, I'm going to say 30, this was at lunchtime, approximately 30 people on active duty in the Air Force in their uniforms in this place, that it looked to me like approximately half of them at least were women.
Yes, that's really not surprising. And I think going back to what you said about earlier, the leveling of society and everything, that what's ironic about this movement is that we're trying to get away from men being the providers and men being the protectors and men being the primary breadwinners, yet these women don't realize what they've created in to replace that is a patriarchal state where Big Daddy government is going to take care of me. Big Daddy government is going to tell me what to do, and it's going to make sure my kids are fed and that they've got the right vaccines and this, that, and the other. You're really trading a human, personal, loving man who is going to be your partner for life for an impersonal state that is now going to take over all of the responsibilities. And believe me, the state is not going to love you like the one man who's going to stand by you for life. I had a wonderful father. He was actually an aviation historian, so I grew up listening to the stories of veterans from the World Wars and writing up some of the things. I worked for my dad in the summer times, transcribing tapes of interviews with vets. And I remember my dad specifically asking a lot of them, what do you think now of women being in the military? And these men would shake their heads, and sometimes tears would start into their eyes, and they'd say, this is not what America's about. It's
yes.
Not what we fought for.
I would agree, and I see that as a particularly pressing point now with what seems to be just around the corner. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Jeannie Chansey of LadiesAgainstFeminism.com. Stay tuned.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined for the first hour of the show by Jeannie Chansey of LadiesAgainstFeminism.com. And Jeannie, we were talking a little bit before the break about this whole issue of military conscription. It seems to me that the conscription of women for the armed forces of the United States must be just around the corner. And the reason I say this, as you can see, with all of this litigation in our society that has involved gender equality, where we've seen this implemented in so many ways in corporate America and throughout our educational system, if there is a reestablishment of a draft in this country as a result of what seems to be a burgeoning situation in the Middle East, in all these stories, including one today, that the National Guard is breaking down in terms of its ability to cover domestic situations because they've been federalized in so many cases for what's happening abroad. If we have a military draft, I can just see someone on the male side of the ledger saying, hey, if they're going to be drafting me or drafting my my sons, and they're not bringing all of the women up for an equal situation here in consideration before these draft boards, given the fact that women are already being fully integrated into the volunteer portion of our service up to this point, I'm going to file some sort of a civil rights suit and say that this is gender discrimination. And I can just foresee a situation where the next go-around, if there is a reinstitution of the draft, my friend Debbie Hopper, who's a conservative Christian woman and who heads up a group called Mothers Against the Draft, absolutely sees this as being around the corner.
I agree, and I wish I could say, oh, no, that'll never happen in our country. And you could have said that 50 years ago, but today I'm afraid it is inevitable. We actually have gotten a lot of emails through LAF from men in the military who have said, you know, I was against women in the military. I don't think it's a good idea. I don't want women in combat. But, you know, I've gotten hardened to it by seeing women in my unit, and they can't take it like a man, but we're going to give it to them like a man. And if there's a draft, you better believe they have to be drafted just like we do. It's not fair to insist that the standards be lowered to accommodate women and then not draft women. You know, they've made so many changes to the military to get women into the military. In fact, I got an email about 3 days ago from a guy who said, I'm in the Marines, and the standards were kept pretty high. He said, I've yelled at women in the line. I've, you know, pushed them to march because I think you're coming in the military, you're going to take it like a man. You want to be like a guy? Fine. He said, but then they lowered the standards because women just couldn't keep up. They didn't have the strength to manage the things. He said, there are very, very few women who can handle the rigors of Marine life. And he said, and what happened is that with the standard lowered so far, men were like, this is a joke. Anybody can do this stuff. So they raised the standard back up. And the result is that not as many women join the Marines as they do other branches. But the point is, if you're going to insist on absolute fairness and sameness in the way you treat men and women, then there's got to be women included in the draft. And I certainly pray that never happens. I don't want my daughters drafted. I don't want any ladies that I know to be drafted. I think it's wrong. I think we've really left our moral compass in this country to think that women put in combat is a good thing and means equality. It doesn't. What are we fighting for? What's the point? Have we just forgotten that the reason for centuries that men have gone to war is to protect their women, their children, their way of life at home? I mean, what are we fighting for now? If everybody goes over, are we fighting for malls and materialism or, you know, our entertainment? What is it that makes America now worth fighting for?
Yeah, exactly. And it's, are we fighting for a Leviathan central state that seems to be getting more powerful by the minute and moving us closer and closer to full participation in a world government? I mean, these are very compelling philosophical issues. And, you know, talking with my dad about this just a day or so ago, I was mentioning to him just as one obvious example of the sea change in American culture in my lifetime. I'm 51 years old, and of course I grew up in the 1960s and witnessed all of these things that are now coming fully home to roost, it seems to me. But CNN.com had a poll yesterday where readers could vote asking if they felt that gays and lesbians should be included in the armed forces of the United States. And according to the poll, 67% of the respondents said yes. Now, while that's not a scientific poll, it's certainly suggestive of a sea change in public attitude on that subject. And without getting into the particulars of the gay issue today as it relates to the armed forces or anything else, I certainly think you can demonstrate that the sea change in public attitudes toward that certainly would be reflective of what must be a sea change in the average perception of John or Jane Q. public in regard to this whole issue of women in the military.
Right. And what's really sad to me, and it relates to this whole issue of women in the military, is that we're exploiting women now in the name of freeing them.
Yes, absolutely. We'll be back This is Mark Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're with Jeannie Chansey of LadiesAgainstFeminism.com in this first hour, and then Nayla Al-Aryan will be on shortly after 8 a.m.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Your income or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools. You're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30 and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
Okay, well, here we are back on Truth Jihad Radio with Kevin Barrett, and my guest tonight is Bill Woodward from the University of New Hampshire. Bill and I are members of Scholars for 9/11 Truth, and we've taken heat from local politicians and press. We've got Richard from Alabama still on the line, and you were finishing up that thought, Richard?
I have an idea. Now, stop calling at the government to say the 9/11 murderers. Stop saying court. Say the court of the 9/11 murderers. Stop saying police department. Say the department of the 9/11 murderers. And say it in court. And you can, if we could get a large number of defendants in a big city like New York City to come in and challenge the propriety of the Rule 19 service on the essential party, and then challenge the Rule 12B claim, And do it always using, instead of saying the court, say the court of the 9/11 murderers, and just keep on. If you had 50 defendants in a row doing this in some big city, it would drive the court system crazy, and the prosecutor would have to address the issue. Somebody would have to address the issue.
And you know, yeah, that's a pretty good thought, Richard. I think anything like that that kind of sets a lights a fire under people, you know, gets this into the public eye, bothers people. You know, it's really like a festering wound. And calling attention to it through this kind of strategy, I think, is a way to get that truth process going that we need before we can heal.
People aren't motivated until they're stepped on, until they're in jeopardy, before the judge, when they're scared, and they will do something. If they know they've got 50 more friends that are going to do the same thing, they'll know they can't ignore 50 defendants in a row. They can't laugh it off. They can't keep on laughing at one defendant after another, calling them the court of the 9/11 murderers.
Well, that's an interesting prospect, organizing defendants. But yeah, I think organizing people to do those kind of symbolic actions is really important. We are going to be having a Boston Tea Party on December 16th in Boston. We're going to be shredding 9/11 Commission reports, throwing them in Boston Harbor. I'm going to be throwing a life-size dummy of Bill O'Reilly into Boston Harbor, and then I'll be going on a show the following week to discuss that. So these kind of symbolic actions, I think, are very helpful. I think that's a good idea. You know, we have a kind of a long list of callers already on the line here, so we're going to pass on from you, Richard, if that's okay.
Okay.
And we're moving on to, I guess we have Ralph from Oklahoma next in line.
Gentlemen. Yes, gentlemen, Kevin and Bill, I have that correct?
That's right.
All right, thanks. A thought occurred to me probably on the second or third day of all this on Building 7 in Flight 93. And since then, the only one that I have heard on, well, on this network and another that made mention of this, and he was, that Jewish journalist, Barry Shamish, I think, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, okay. He had a stroke, I guess, early when all this took place. Anyway, I think he's about back to normal yet, but that's something that I found here lately that does arouse a few people when you ask them, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't a 7-mile wreckage on a plane that supposedly crashed, Flight 93, over Pennsylvania.
Right, right.
Was it 7 miles? I know it was quite a wreckage. Well, to me, that told me right off that plane was shot down. And then I heard later, it was. And then I put that all together, that plane was a Renegade. It was supposed to hit Building 7. And you find out later that Mr. Silverstein, Larry Silverstein, he nearly had a stroke. He was so worried when it got that late, and he realizes this plane is not going to hit the building. What are we going to do when they go in there and find all these explosives, demolitions explosives?
Yeah, that's a possibility.
They've done their very best, this magic media that we've got in this country. Mainstream media, that is, keeping all that quiet and covered up. I've run into only one out of maybe 50 people since this time that even know that this building that had nothing to do with the planes went down.
Well, you know, Ralph, there was a poll taken last spring that showed that of the people who have heard about Building 7, I think it was more than two-thirds of them wanted a new investigation and didn't believe the official story, whereas with the general population, it was less than half. So people who've heard about Building 7 tend to figure this thing out, and I think it's the first thing we should be talking about with new people because...
Oh, I think it's the key to the whole thing.
Yeah, psychologically, it's easier for people to deal with because nobody was in there when the building was demolished.
Yeah.
And it's also so obvious that, and then you have Larry Silverstein, you know, the overinsured landlord of 6 weeks, confessing on national TV that he pulled it. It's pretty overwhelming when people look at that, and people can turn around on a dime when they do.
I have seen this nearly that very same thing. The only thing I had on Flight 93 was it was either Building 7 or the White House. Mm-hmm. I still think it was a missile that hit the White House. But I think it was supposed to hit Building 7. I don't know. Maybe we never will know. But it was set up for, I think, the same thing as the two Twin Towers. All right. Thank you for your time, gentlemen.
Yeah, well, thank you, Ralph.
All right. Bye.
Well, Bill, should we move on? We have two more callers on the line.
Sure.
Okay, next caller is Jane from Maryland.
Thanks for having me. I endorse the views stated by an earlier caller, his very sharp insights on human nature, the power that fear and intimidation has, and especially the social and economic investment that large numbers of the educated professional classes, especially in the military-industrial complex, but in academia as well, the investment, not just the emotional investment, but the material investment they have in a status quo that would be severely threatened should the full truth about not only 9/11, but the systematic use of false flag terror, you know, on a historical basis. It's something that's very difficult for people to confront, the implications of it, and then from there, what becomes their moral responsibility? With all due respect to both of you, and I admire you, I think you're both exemplars in terms of the risks and the personal sacrifices that you have made. I look upon it less as a question of healing or learning how to heal than of wounding and learning how to wound effectively. And I beg your indulgence to consider what it would mean if the next time they try to deny tenure or fire or prematurely retire an academic in any institution, what would it mean if there was the threat of a student strike? What would it mean if there were lawsuits in the courts? What would it mean if we bit back like pit bulls every time they tried to do this? What it would mean is we could then ensure that the question of 9/11 and what actually happened becomes inextricably entwined with the whole issue of academic freedom, intellectual integrity, and freedom of expression in general. That's what it becomes. And what I'm looking towards is a move. People are afraid. They want to see two things. They want to see leadership that's ready to fight, not fight in a wild-ass or random way, but in a crafty, smart, ruthless way, in a principled way, and they want to see victories. And it's very, very important. People will not follow defeat. They won't follow they're not recruited by the example of a heroic defeat. There will be defeats. You can't win them all. But we've got to demonstrate the capacity to fight back ruthlessly. When we get slandered in the media, whether it's on the web, whether it's in the newspapers, we've got to have libel suits. Lord knows we've got lawyers in this movement. We've got people with legal expertise in this movement. Maybe we don't yet have the kind of mass response that we would need on the campuses to shut these places down when these guys try to suppress us. But we certainly can tie them up in court. We've got to fight back. This is about more than the healing is important. I'm not in any way discounting that. I don't disrespect you guys for discussing that. But the wounding is just as critical. Thanks.
Well, that's a pretty good point. I don't know if I would use the term wounding necessarily, but yeah, Bill, you know, I feel like one of the things that the situation I've been in has allowed me to do is to fight back pretty aggressively. The way things worked out for me was that Steve Nass, this state assemblyman who's extremely unpopular, especially in Madison, happened to be the guy that went after me. So I was able to kind of beat back on him. And also come back hard against the people that were coming after me. Every time somebody attacks me, I do a hard-hitting response. I use humor, and I even go after them with a kind of ad hominem, name-calling kind of stuff that they throw at me. Only I try to make it humorous. I want to make it. You know, I don't want to be a martyr. I want to be somebody that's perceived as fighting valiantly and winning some battles and having some fun. I mean, how about you?
I have a different personality. I could tell a different story. Let's see. I got into the newspapers based on a quote I gave to the press that the government elites orchestrated 9/11. And following that, I got outraged responses in the newspapers from the governor, from the head of the state Senate, and from Senator Judd Gregg. Now, I could have and did bravely respond to media requests for the next 3 weeks, but eventually my institution prevailed upon me to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And not being a Kevin Barrett, I'm more of a nice guy, conciliator.
Are you saying I'm not a nice guy, Bill?
You're a pitbull. And with a great sense of humor. I love your style. I've been reading your book. And I've been thinking this might turn me around. But the problem is my chair and my dean were very upset with me. And they were conveying the attitude of the higher-ups who, on the one hand, had defended me. On the other hand, had indirectly told me, you owe us some cooperation now because we've called off the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Stood up to Lynn Cheney and her organization,
mm-hmm.
who wanted to investigate you. We've told them there's no need for an investigation because professors are evaluated every semester that they teach by the students and by their chair. So there's no need for the for a national organization to intervene. But then the university indirectly let me know that the negative voices coming from around the state needed to be listened to. Now, mm-hmm. frankly, I suspect those negative voices were very few. I think the university was cowed by a few angry parents and citizens who didn't know beans about 9/11. But from my fan mail, and I suspect from yours, you get a sense of powerful support for exposing the big lie. I got hundreds of letters saying, keep up the fight, we're with you. One of your experience was similar.
Yeah, mine was very similar. I finally got a flood of angry mail, though, after, you know, for the first several months it was actually running, vast majority was positive, but then they put me on this thing called conservative alerts, which is this sort of an astroturf, you know, fake grassroots thing where they use corporate money to recruit imbeciles to write letters. But the cool thing about this was that all of the letters in support are very, you know, they're literate, they're intelligent, sensitive, you know, human beings writing these letters. And then the hate mail is largely from you know, illiterate, it's pretty hilarious, some of it. So I actually posted a lot of the hate mail interspersed with the fan mail at Mujka.com, M-U-J-C-A.com. There are two different articles called Flowers for Algernon. And if you have kind of a twisted sense of humor, you might want to compare the level of literacy of the pro 9/11 truth people to the anti 9/11 truth people. And see, that's the thing is I just don't think these neocons who all have 180 IQs and a negative 180 moral IQs can succeed in conquering the world by raising a zombie army of sub-morons who believe their lies. Well, you know, anybody with basic common sense can see right through it and is disgusted. And so even these guys in Alabama that Richard was talking about, law enforcement, who are just hanging on for their pensions, they're not going to fight tooth and nail for the neocons empire. They don't believe in it.
Hmm.
This is a bad strategy, this business of recruiting zombie morons to fight for you and having all the aware people not feel good about what they're doing. This is going to bring down the American empire. It's not going to save it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Even the students who haven't read much, they see through it. I was on Facebook.com. Have you heard of that? A site for students to comment on a media person such as me. And the most response came from the state of Florida. They were calling for the firing of Professor Woodward. But they really didn't have much to base it on other than a newspaper report. Wonder what kind of follow the leader attitude that is.
Yeah, some of these people, they just some of these people just replied to these requests to send angry emails to me without writing anything, and others just kind of pathetically attempted to imitate the wording of the request. There were very few people that had anything intelligent to say against me. And, you know, when you're making the right enemies like that, it actually feels pretty good. And for me, it does kind of get up my fighting spirit. You know, my administration also didn't like all the negative attention they were getting around this publicity. And my response to them was, okay, I won't go out and seek publicity, and I'll even try and stay away from the worst of it. The guys that you really don't like me to be on, I'll kind of, you know, I'll stay away from those people. But when I'm attacked, I'm going to respond, you know.
I see.
And I also explained that it seems to me that Muslims are really taking it on the chin these days, and they're not allowed to defend themselves, and that basically the definition of a terrorist is a Muslim acting in self-defense. Well, yeah. Call me a terrorist, but I'm going to verbally defend myself when I'm verbally attacked, and I'm going to give my side of the story. So that was my response was, okay, if they attack me, I will respond and try and give my side of the story. And I guess the administration had to admit that that was a legitimate thing to do. On the other hand, they probably still are not happy with the situation, and there may be some resistance if and when I'm ever up for being rehired.
Well, I admire you for what you're doing.
Well, thanks. I admire you, too. You know, it's a tough situation for any of us, and especially, you know, really, you know, people who are just basically nice guys who just aren't into fighting. It's really tough to get into this situation. I used to be that way, but now I'm a truth jihadi. Okay, we'll be back after the break. Niloy, hang on. We'll talk to you after the break. Stay tuned.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
There are millions of airborne irritants in your home, like pollen, fine dust, bacteria, mold spores, and smoke.
But now you can take control of the air you and your family breathe at home. With Filters Now having the world's largest selection of AC, furnace, humidifier, automotive, fuel oil, industrial, and vacuum filters with top quality brands like 3M and Accumulair, you'll be sure to find what you're looking for at a great prices you can afford. We have all sizes available in both custom and standard. Get any size at any time. Go to filters-now.com or call toll-free 877-991-0400. Again, that's 877-991-0400. Call now and use RBN 2006 as your special order code to receive free shipping on your order. Give us a call today and breathe the difference. Filters Now.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Well, folks, here we are back on Truth Jihad Radio, and we are saying give peace a chance. We're also saying give truth a chance. It really, it wouldn't hurt to start building a society based on truth instead of one ruled by systematic liars, neocon madmen who've taken Machiavelli at his word and run with it 10 miles past wherever he was. Okay, well, we just heard from a caller, Jane from Maryland, who had some really good points about how we do need to sometimes fight back. We do want to give peace a chance, but sometimes we also have to defend ourselves, and we have to make it hard for the bad guys to keep on being bad. Bill, I guess we have a whole bunch of callers, so let's move on to Neloy from Pennsylvania. Are you on the line, Neloy?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hi. Yes, we can. How are you?
Yes. I had a question about this this hologram theory that's been presented in the 9/11 movement. Although it seems like most people within the 9/11 movement seem to reject the theory that the South Tower it wasn't a hologram. It's intriguing because why is it that in certain pieces of videotape, the wings of the plane seem to blink on and off?
Well, that's a question that I really can't answer because I don't think I've actually seen the blinking wings videotape. How about you, Bill?
No, I haven't. This is one of a thousand technical points that I think is worth pursuing, but I am not up on it. We'd even like to know where you can see that video.
Oh. Well, I've seen it, I think, on maybe three different types of videotapes. One was on a trailer for an upcoming film that's going to be released, which is called Fooled Again on 9/11. And it presents a few videotapes where the wings seem to be blinking on and off.
Interesting. You know, Neil, what I would really like to see with these no planes people, the people with these various theories about you know, video being faked, the blue screen technology and all that stuff, I'd like to see somebody sit down and put together a really coherent presentation of this stuff. Probably would have to be on video. You know, do a really good DVD showing exactly what their evidence is, explaining it very clearly and coherently, so that, you know, those of us who have, you know, are working too hard at trying to get the public on board with the 9/11 truth concept in the first place can decide what we think about this. You know, normally my first thought is that in terms of a public relations and communicative strategy, focusing on what might have happened, especially in terms of these more exotic technologies, is probably not the best way to try to bring on board the, you know, 60% of the American people that are not on board with us yet. But, you know, I'm not ruling this out. I know some real smart people who seem to put credence in some of these ideas.
Yeah.
So I'll keep my eyes and ears open.
Okay,
and we'll be back after the break with more callers who are lined up to get on Truth Jihad Radio. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.